When you started talking about the masculine and feminine typology, you used the image of the caduceus,
right,
winding all the way up.
Right.
So is the ideal, I know the ideal is simply to be integrally informed, but I'm going to take it a little bit further. Is the ideal that any person, whether they're in a male or female form, would fully develop their masculine and feminine capacities?
Again,
or do I just accept the fact I feel more identified with the feminine? I'm going to let myself shine. I'm not going to worry about this.
Yeah, you accept that fact, but there's a difference.
Expression.
Yeah, but there is a difference, and it's just what you said. It's you're integrally informed. In other words, specialization is okay. Again, like we were saying, you don't have to be an Olympic decathlon champion, a culinary expert, master music, and know the Schrodinger wave equation in order to be integral.
Does that still apply to masculine and feminine, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. There are always exceptions. The exceptions are, let me explain why I did, and then we'll do the exceptions. The reason it applies, and the difference is, you're still being just feminine or just masculine, but now you're aware of the fact that you're being just feminine or just masculine. And that means you have a bigger awareness. That means you're intricately informed about what you're doing. And therefore, you're less likely to screw up those things that you're not mastering. And the exceptions, it's when you really have to take it into account, is if you have a pathology in either the line you're identified with, masculine, or if you actually have a feminine current and you're not acknowledging it and it's going pathological, then you don't have any choice. You have to go in digging. You have to actually go at it and try to balance this out. But all that's fundamentally required is that you be integrally informed, that your consciousness makes room for these different currents and energies in your being, so that you can at least look around. A lot of people that say, you know, I've just decided I'm really masculine and that's the way it is, really haven't looked around. And once you sort of point out what the feminine current is like, a lot of men will start to say, you know what, when I'm really good at board meetings, I'm shining. And they'll really start to feel a feminine kind of component to that that previously they either weren't aware of or it was operating without their consciousness. And they might have even had sort of judgments about it. And they actually sort of get more in touch with that, and that's very healthy. So that's part of what happens when you're integrally informed. Again, it doesn't mean you have to have all 12 developmental lines shoot straight to level 7. I'm not even sure that is possible at this day and age. 1,000 years from now it might be, but there'll be 7 more levels that will have emerged, so it's kind of an unending. But no, what happens when people sort of take an integrally informed approach to their sexuality is a lot of them say, you know what, I really am just masculine here. And I really want to go into that. And that's fine. But many times what happens is they find they're masculine and gross, and they tend to be feminine and subtle or causal. And once they make room for that in their mind, these other things start jumping out that they weren't aware of. If they didn't jump out, that's fine. But what you are doing is you're now aware of all these possibilities, and you're aware that you're a specialist. You're not a comprehensive, you're not covering all the bases. And you know you're a specialist, and specialization is fine.
It's possible, though, that someone would want to be a specialist in androgyny through all the three different states. And that's just, someone might have that interest or predilection.
Yeah, and I think that's actually, for me, it's kind of an ideal. I mean, I think that would be kind of the really cool thing to do in a certain sense. I have a kind of, my own sort of weird version of androgyny in that I was raised largely by my mother. My father was present. He was wonderful, but he was in the Air Force, so he was gone a lot. Biologically, I'm hardwired heterosexual. But I was sort of raised by a mother and got a lot of sort of traditional feminine traits. So interior decorating, design, pattern recognition, all of that. I got just a ton of, and I love it. And I think I'm pretty good at it. So it's a strange kind of combination in that sense. But it's those feminine sides that I actually like. And it has a lot to do with the aesthetic sense I have and how I decorate spaces, clothing, all that stuff. I absolutely love those things. I know I got that from my mom. And then some people are also, in terms of their biological wiring, have a sort of equal disposition, masculine, feminine. That's possible. It happens. I also think that's great. I think it gives you a chance to really explore both sides of those dimensions. And some people that have that sort of bisexual core and become integrally informed, then will actually start, in a sense, exaggerating in a healthy sense their capacity to play both sides of the street. In other words, they'll say, okay, now that I have a feeling in myself for this masculine witnessing depth, this consciousness, and now that I have a feeling in myself for shine and radiance and flow, I can intensify them. And they'll actually feel into themselves in ways that they can do that. And they'll work with partners that can intensify their own reactions in the same way. And so it actually gives you a chance to explore those sides and actually intensify them in a broader context of a consciousness that holds that and is integrally informed while it's doing so. And I think that's great. I really think that. And I think that also accelerates growth through the stages. As we kind of talked about off and on, the more you have an altered, non-ordinary, higher state, the more it speeds your development through the stages. And so I think there is a real sense in which this sort of higher tantric sexuality, whether it's heterosexual, bisexual, can accelerate growth and development. The fun way. This is why we like that.
Is sexuality a line of development?
You certainly can look at it that way. And, you know, starting with the whole, well, I didn't start with Freud, but Freud certainly made the psychosexual line of development fairly famous. And if you actually look at Freud's line, what he investigated was really first and second chakra. He really looked at oral and anal stages, which are part of the first chakra, alimentary food development, and then phallic genital, which was second chakra. And he sort of traced eros, sexual impulse, libidinal distribution in the body from its early sort of polymorphous phase through the first chakra, oral and anal, and then into the genital development, tilted it towards the masculine, which subsequent female psychoanalysts fixed, more or less, and sort of straightened that out a little bit and gave the female version of that. And then kind of up into Adler and Nietzsche's third chakra of power, and there he kind of dropped that developmental scale. There's no reason you can't continue the specifically sexual line into these higher levels as levels and not just these broad states that we're talking about. And I think that's very reasonable. I think you can do that. And I think actually that at some point we're going to have research that can look into that fairly well and come up with it. So psychosexual line of development would have these seven levels, just like the other lines.
What would the higher levels look like, and what would the research be like?
Well, I think the higher levels... leave names and phone numbers. A lot of the mystics give us some pretty good descriptions of those higher states, in a certain sense, and probably levels of sexual release. And it really is just Satchitananda. It's being consciousness bliss. It's an erotic, blissful union with everything that's arising. And people have, even in their ordinary sexual activities, often have that, what we're calling that stage three experience, where they really flip out of themselves and the relationship and into this ecstatic, erotic embrace of everything. And the difference is that with higher stages, that becomes a constant current. That's sort of the definition of the higher stage, is that these higher states become constant. They're not just passing. And even Ramana Maharshi said that, you know, in the space of this empty self, there was constant bliss arising. And that's probably a very good definition of that particular aspect of it.
And the research?
And the research starts in 30 minutes, so okay. Don't miss it.